Well, hello, everybody. This is Patricia Corey from the Azores Island, where I'm spending some time detoxing from reality and spending overseeing the whales and dolphins and just having a fabulous, relaxing time. Much deserved. I will pat myself on the back for that because it's been an intense year for me, as I'm sure it has been for so many of you. And as I am here immersed in nature, I thought how more fitting than to do a show today with one of my favorite people, one of my favorite earth activists. She's been on several times. Her name is Rosalind Peterson, and she'll be on shortly. But before I bring on Rosalind, and I know many of you are tuning in to hear the latest that she's going to share with us, I do want to remind you that I'm still gathering funds for Sea Shepherd, and the reason for that is because they're over in Well, there are a number of reasons, but right now they're over in the Faroe Island trying to put a stay to the massive slaughter of the pilot whales so that young men could test their testosterone levels. Sort of a pet peeve of mine, but we must stay in positive action mode. So please, if you can help, there's a link on my homepage at SyrianRevelations.net. That's in a box called Messages for Patricia. There's a direct link to my Whale Warriors page for the Sea Shepherds. Let's help them stop these guys from killing mothers and children and calves, let's call it as the name is correctly said, and help the Sea Shepherds do the great work that they're doing. So please help if you can. Even $10 is a donation that'll make a difference. Alrighty, I'm going to not waste a lot of time introducing new ideas and little blurbs and updates and news because I want all the time possible to speak with Rosalind. Rosalind, thank you for joining me once again.
Well, it's always an honor and a privilege to do your show, and thank you for asking me again to be on your show.
Thank you. I haven't announced all of your immense background because people could pick that up on your website, CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. But suffice to say, you are truly an earth warrior, and you've got your finger on the pulse of all kinds of things that are going on. And what we attempt to do on this show is to present the problems and give people the empowering information so that they can make some right choices for themselves and their families rather than sink down into the disempowerment and hopelessness of it being just too much what's going on this planet. So where do we begin? You've got a lot of news updates. There's a lot going on. I'd like to talk today about the power grid tests, the latest geoengineering stuff with the sun going berserk and solar radiation management and how we're being deprived of vitamin D. We've got a lot to talk about. Where would you like to begin, Rosalind? What's your pet thing that you're working on now?
Well, it's not a pet project, but it's a project that a lot of people should know about because it's going to affect everyone in the United States. The United States government has decided without our knowledge or consent to conduct a U.S. power grid experiment that's going to last for a year. It allegedly began this July. And what happened, and I didn't know this, but there's a company called the North American Electric Reliability Corporation. It's a private corporation that runs the nation's interlocking web of transmission lines and power plants. And that's the North Yes. American Electric Reliability Corporation. What they have decided to do on their own is to conduct a year-long test on the U.S. power grid. And an AP report that came out on the 25th of June was one of the first and only reports on this experimental power grid test. It was in CBS News that reported on the Associated Press report, and then it died on the vine, and other news organizations did not pick this up. So if they didn't see the initial report, it was not reported to the public at large, other than just on a couple of days in two specific reports, and then it disappeared completely.
Public Disclosure, classic, 11 p.m. on an obscure hour of the night, one or two days, and then that's it.
That's correct. However, the AP reported that they had gotten a hold of a PowerPoint presentation by this corporation, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation. And what they found out is that this test was going to impact all of us in one way or another across the United States. This year-long experiment with America's electric grid could mess up traffic lights, security systems, and some computers, and make plug-in clocks and appliances like programmable coffee makers run 20 minutes fast. It could throw stoplights off so that the timers wouldn't work. And one of the things that I found curious was that we have a U.S. Naval Observatory. It's one of the two official timekeeping agencies in the federal government. The head of this department, quote, "A lot of people are going to have things break and they're not going to know why," said Demetrios Misakis, and he's head of this U.S. Navy Observatory for timekeeping. Since 1930, our electric clocks have kept time on the rate of electrical current that powers them. If the current slips off the usual rate, then clocks run a little fast or slow, and power companies at a local level take steps to correct it and keep the frequency of the current and the time as precise as possible. This Electric Reliability Corporation is going to conduct tests in which they no longer keep correct time.
Sorry if I'm laughing, but I find it a bit ironic that as we seem to be moving toward a no-time situation in our multidimensional consciousness, that we've got this obscure organization that nobody's ever heard about that is telling us they're going to throw out our time.
Yes, and they also notify us that the tweaking of the power grid's frequency and other experiments is expensive and going to take a lot of time and effort, but they're going to be testing the entire U.S. power grid. We're not going to be exempt, and also we're not going to know when it's going to be happening or what kind of impact. Now, they do talk about our clocks no longer running on time, that equipment that is time-sensitive and dependent may dysfunction and completely be useless in the future. The other thing they talk about is that when you put your alarm clock and you plug it in at night so that the bell goes off and you get to work on time, that clock is no longer going to be keeping correct time. And they advise you that you can call an unknown number and that you can get the correct time if you call this number on the telephone. Now, this seems a bit much considering that there's several million people living in the United States who could find themselves with the incorrect time or breaking equipment and not know why. The other thing is that when I first read this article, my jaw sort of dropped because I thought, well, where was the public notification about this test? Why wasn't the police department, the fire department, our county board of supervisors, city government, my congressman notified about this power test? And apparently no one was notified, not even the hospitals, which have time-dependent equipment where when people are under surgery.
Well, there are a lot of questions that are brewing in my mind here, but the first one is everything depends on time. So much equipment, not everything, but so much equipment is time-sensitive. I mean, let's just talk about, for example, trains and subway stations. This could be a disaster.
That's right. And see, the thing is that when you have trains, you know, they have switching and different things so trains don't wreck head on. And when you start having a power grid system that's no longer running on time, and they talk about, well, it could be 20 minutes off or 8 minutes off or 10 minutes off. It could run fast. It could run slow. And, for example, Tom O'Brien, who heads the Time and Frequency Division at the National Institute of Standards and Technology expects widespread effects from this testing. So my curiosity here is that I wouldn't want to be in a hospital. I wouldn't want to be on something that's time sensitive because it may run too fast, it may run too slow, the timing could be off. And hospitals haven't been notified. No one I talked to at any government level knew anything about this power grid test.
All right, here's a question for you. Now, I tend toward the esoteric, so bear with me if it's too woo-woo for you.
Okay.
You don't suppose that what's really happening is that they are testing some sort of time controlling energy, some sort of weapon that we already know they're controlling the climate. So you don't suppose that they're playing around actually with the space-time continuum and that's the grid they're talking about, or is that too far out?
I don't know. But I do know it's the actual power grid that we operate on.
Right, but why would it be affecting time?
Because the frequency, time is frequency dependent. In other words, all of our frequency runs at a certain level all the time. And for example, the time on the East Coast is 3 hours different than the time on the West Coast. So what happens is that there's an adjustment that is made to keep every clock as you move across the United States from east to west or west to east on at the correct time. Now, if the frequency is, in other words, readjusted, then that means that the ability of our time clocks to run on time will change. And they're saying, well, we're not going to readjust the time so that your clocks or equipment will run on time anymore, which is done now. So they're doing this frequency test. I've had a few people call me who are much more technical who are unhappy about this because they said, look, our studies, some of our most sensitive experiments are conducted and we have to run on time. And if this time running too fast or running too slow begins to happen, it could throw off many of the tests that are going to be conducted by various universities and other areas.
I'm having a trouble grasping this because time is such an elusive aspect of our reality as it is. And I'm just wondering, who is this North American Atlantic Electric Reliability Corp? What is it? Reliability Corporation. And what are they actually doing? What is your take on you've got to be feeling that there's more to this than simply what we're being told or not told. What is your take on what's beneath this or behind this?
Well, the corporation has only been in existence about 2 or 3 years.
Surprise.
Their website has very little information on it. As a matter of fact, it's the most sketchy website I've seen, or one of the most. And they're talking about, in other words, that they're going to make the grid more reliable, but I don't know how you can make it more reliable if you start to have everyone's time thrown off kilter.
So what do you think is really going on? Do you have an instinctive sense of what's behind this?
I have an instinctive sense that we're going to be conducting some atmospheric tests that would disrupt our power grid. And I think that this is a way for them to pretend like they are conducting a certain test when in actuality there's going to be other atmospheric tests taking place.
Okay, now we're getting to the meat of the matter. What kind of what more can they do to the atmosphere considering what we've experienced in the last 5 years with HAARP being turned up to its full power and the chemtrail situation utterly choking us in ooze? What more do you think they've got planned?
Well, the U.S. Navy is now engaged in conducting experimental weapons systems testing. Involving missiles and other types of equipment, lasers, in other words, laser weapons and other things that they have written about that they're starting to experiment with. And I think that some of these atmospheric tests that they're planning could be highly disruptive to our electrical grid. And so saying that we're doing this testing so people won't become alarmed, I think is one way that, that they're going to be able to conduct these tests kind of hidden from public view. That's speculation on my part, but I've seen enough of these atmospheric tests already and what they're capable of doing to realize that this is not beyond a stretch of the imagination. The other thing that you had said that connects to this is the we're talking about the sun. And there's been a lot of discussion that because of what is happening on the sun, the end of the Earth is coming and we have to do something about it. I've seen that on C-SPAN. I've been hearing this as the next doomsday prediction, is that all of a sudden the sun is going to attack the Earth and things are going to be so disrupted that the end of the Earth could happen.
Right, if the Elenin doesn't get us, or the latest is the attack of the aliens. We've even got Michio Kaku, who is a physicist that I really used to respect, who came off the wall the other day on an interview and was talking about the possibility of an alien civilization attacking the Earth. So we're getting it from every corner. The sun, the sun, aliens, asteroids, whatever you can come up with is out to get us. And this is, it's interesting that this is being escalated in the human mind at a time when people are already subject to their own fear and paranoia about 2012. It's like a clean slate for anybody that wants to impose fear on a society to start drumming the doomsday noise. But
well,
definitely,
there's one thing I want to say about the sun. I'm kind of upset in my own thinking about this because NASA really recently put up two satellites, and these two satellites can see the sun on a 360-degree angle. Ever since they got these satellites up and working recently, all of a sudden they've been predicting doom and gloom because they're seeing all the things that the sun can do and is doing on an up-close and personal basis. And so ever since that time, they've been predicting doom and gloom and the end of the Earth coming and all the things that the sun, that's going to happen to the Earth because of the sun. Well, people have been ringing my phone off the hook and sending me emails about this information, asking me if the end of the Earth is coming. However, I think that just because NASA can see things that they never have seen before, the sun has been up in the sky around the Earth for millions of years. To hold a discussion that all of a sudden, now that they can see something that is happening on the sun, that all of a sudden doom and gloom is coming just because we have telescopes and we can see a bit better, I'm saying to people, well, we've been in this relationship with the sun for millions of years. And to all of a sudden think that the end of the Earth is coming because we can see something we couldn't is a bit much.
Yes, it is. Well, I do think that the public machine that supports the agenda of the group that currently control the, let's say, manage the planet, are taking advantage of the 2012 paradigm to do their very best to scare the bejesus out of people and just completely disempower people so they will lie down and let whatever's going to happen. And this is happening also in our groups of spiritual people who are just acquiescing and saying, well, if it's meant to be, and you and I are activists, and my message is whatever's meant to be, do something, do it in your environment, do it in your personal life, do it for your family, your community, but take action to make your world better.
Well, there's a part of this that doom and gloom has been with us for, hundreds and hundreds of years. And there's always been these predictions that the end of the world was coming. And, of course, every time the end of the world doesn't come, then they fix another date and then that we're supposed to be afraid of. And I think what it does is people then feel in their own sense of self that they can't do anything, because why should they do anything? Because next year it's all over and it's the end of the world. I look at this and that all these predictions have come up short every time, and that the end of the world keeps going, but we seem to like to engage in the conversation because I think it paralyzes people.
Yes, and I do like to remind people that there are a lot of people who are still eating the lima beans that they had stocked up on for the Y2K shift that didn't destroy the world, and that there's a certain very important analysis people have to make about how they intend to live their lives. Regardless of all of these gloom and doom predictions, there's striking a balance between being aware and being empowered by that awareness rather than being disempowered. That this seems to be quite a battle that's going on in the human psyche right now. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because you are a beautiful balance between the reality of the information you've got and how to help people take action to do something about it.
Well, on this power grid test, you have to know that the power grid test, there isn't going to be something else happening, that the power grid test is real, and they are going to stop keeping good time, that this is the plan, and that your appliances are not going to work. And when things fall apart and don't work well, I think everyone should know that this is part of the plan. And we could talk to our elected officials and our police departments and our local agencies and take a copy of the article, which is online. If you go to U.S. Power Grid test, type in Associated Press, the articles will come up, and you can read them for yourself. And I think it would be good to let your elected officials know that this is happening, because one of my local supervisors here told me that it would disrupt the city and the county functions if they stopped being on time. The hospital, of course, wasn't notified. And so I think it's really important that we address these issues and say, why are we conducting a power grid test without our consent or knowledge that could have all of these effects across the entire United States? This seems to be a little bit not, you know, off kilter to me.
Yeah, just a titch.
Well, so, think of it. How are you going to have a telephone number, you know, that everyone calls, whatever that number is, and everyone calls that number, and what? The lines are going to be so bogged down that nobody can get through anyway. And you've got equipment. You have to get to work on time. You've got equipment that depends on being timers and different things. And all of a sudden, we're not going to run on time? I mean, isn't this a bit going backwards?
Well, it's actually, if you really sit and discuss and analyze this, it borders on the ludicrous, because having to do with time at this point in our evolutionary process, where so many people are discussing our moving out of the time, linear time altogether. This is one of the theses in my books. And so I find it really interesting that this obscure organization has come along out of nowhere and is pretending to play with the grid so that they alter the time, with obviously not with that bigger perspective in mind, but nonetheless, people are going to have to deal with you call a number and the number tells you the correct time is based on what?
Well, I don't know how this number is going to tell you the time if you live in Alaska and then someone else calls the number and you're going to get the correct time if you live in New York or Texas.
Who's giving you this correct time? What are they connected to, a Swiss watch that's off the grid, or how does this work?
I have no idea, because in the articles that I have, no one is giving you the correct number for time. They said, well, you can call, you know, you can call some magical number, you know. I know that here in California, the phone company, when it used to be Pacific Bell, used to have a number where you could call so that when they switched your clocks back and forward for daylight savings time, there was a number that you can call. And then Pacific Bell went out of business and was absorbed by AT&T, and of course the number went away because it was just too much trouble to have a number for people to call time. So that disappeared. So I don't even know where I would call at this point to find out what the correct time is for my area in California versus someone in Nevada.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm. It's almost tongue in cheek. I know it's a serious situation, but it's
no. It
just
is funny.
So
it is. I think it's funny. You know, there's a sense of humor here about this. But it's dead serious, but also you have to kind of laugh at some of the things that people think up to do.
That's right. That, and the fact that we live in such extraordinarily bizarre times, and the power, the mad scientists and the government who lets them play are just doing so many bizarre things that it's not hard to imagine that they've decided now. They've already gone after weather control. Now they're going to try to mutate time. That's what I'm getting out of this, and should prove very, very interesting to see how vital, like you've talked about hospitals, but how other vital systems are going to be able to hold up to this. Let's talk about timed weapons.
That's right.
Talk about time. The everything runs on. What does it run with the computerized world we're in, with some sort of automated time sequence?
Well, almost everything runs on some sort of time sequence. You know, even fuses and how long it takes for a fuse to burn. All kinds of things. And so all of a sudden you're going to have things where your clocks don't run on time. I mean, I don't know how you could conduct a scientific test if you don't know what time it is. And then if your time is running fast, how can it be accurate or too slow? How can it be accurate? And so now all of a sudden, plus they say your equipment could cease functioning at all. So now you have to buy new equipment. You don't know why, because it's not really the equipment. It's that the power grid's no longer keeping time.
This really smacks to me of some very, very complicated technology that we're about to have laying on us, because it's too bizarre. And to be talking about time equipment not running efficiently seems like such a superficial, almost foolish aspect of this bigger issue. I'm going to be taking call-ins a little bit later, and I'd like you to consider calling in and talking about this, especially if you know anything about the technology of this. So I'm going to give you the number now, but I'm not opening for just a while. The number to call in when I call for calls will be 888-627-6008. That's toll free in U.S. and Canada. Let me give it to you again, 888-627-6008. I'd love to know, and I'm sure Rosalind would like to talk to you about how you perceive what this is really about. So, Rosalind, what about battery operated clocks?
Well, anything that's plugged in would be affected. I don't know if you have a battery operated if it's not plugged into an electric system. I don't think it would be affected. But I do know that the power grid from the U.S. and Canada are interconnected at places. So it could have an impact on Canada as well.
So then this manipulation will also take down the computer networks.
It may have that potential to do that. I have no idea. But you see, the thing is that we plug in everything. You know, our computers are plugged in, everything's plugged in. I have no idea of what the impact will be.
Well, it doesn't seem to me that they can manipulate just the clocks by altering the energy flow in the grid and not crash computers. Very bizarre information, Rosalind. You're going to have to keep us posted on this one.
Well, I just thought it was interesting, and I thought that everybody should know. And by the way, they said that they were going to start conducting the test mid-July. And I've had a few reports from Vermont that clocks aren't keeping time in Vermont. And also there was one report from Pennsylvania. Now, I don't know if their clocks were off to begin with. It's hard to know, but I have had about three or four emails from those areas saying that there was a period of time when their clocks were not running well. So I don't know anything other than that, but I think people should know what's going on just in case. And I would make sure that if you're going to have a hospital visit, that you make sure that you take a copy of this into the hospital so that if you have surgery or something that's running on some machine that's timed, that the hospital be aware of this beforehand.
But do you think they'll take you for a nutcase?
You give them a copy of the article from the Associated Press, and it has the quotes from the U.S. Navy. It has the quotes from different people saying that there will be problems and that they should know about this.
You know, this is so bizarre because on another slant on this whole time thing, I was recently in England, in Glastonbury, and the most bizarre time warp took place. And I'd like you to hear this and see if you have any feedback on it. I completely forgot, I mean completely, that I was taking my group into the Chalice Well for a private access visit on a certain day. And when I came out of my fog and realized it was 2 days later. And the only reason why I got the group in that day to recover from that memory wipeout is that the people that were supposed to have the private access visit that day completely forgot as well. And during that 48-hour span, everyone in my group, almost everyone, either checked in or checked out a day early in their bed and breakfast. Where I was staying, somebody came in and was completely chagrined because he was certain that he was booked that day, and he wasn't. There was something very, very strange going on during those days. And I call it a time warp because that's my language. But considering that we're talking about the electrically manipulated time question here in technical terms, I'd just like to throw this out and say that, that was a very bizarre slice of reality that I was in, and the people that I was with, all experiencing this sense of completely losing track of time.
That's really interesting. What days were those?
This was July, let me get it really right, 19, 20, and 21. Oh, my God, right in the time frame. That would be mid-July, as you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. We all commented on it. If you consider that I had a written program, this was written on the program that we were going in, completely warped out as if I wasn't in the reality at all. And then, like I said, the reason why we got in is that the people that were supposed to be there completely forgot as well. So let's not put it beyond the powers that be to start playing with this dimension, and that is time, and using their techno toys to really confuse us, eh?
Possible. It's all within the realm of possibility, just because the technology that we're looking at is so far more advanced than we even are capable of knowing at this particular juncture in time.
That's right. We know that they're at least 10 years ahead of what they're giving us, and that's a very mild analysis. And we know that every day we're getting more and more extraordinary information about technology and what they're up to. So, my God, 10 years worth of technology at this pace that we don't even know about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be time is one of their targets to play with. Well, speaking of time, I would like to, considering we were already well past the half hour point, I'd also like to shift to another subject that's very important and you have a lot of information about, and that is geoengineering and the GMO. Two different subjects. Let's talk about the latest information you're putting out about what's going on in that field of geoengineering.
There is a mad rush right now to put in as many geoengineering experiments as possible in the next couple of years before the public just wakes up to how bad a situation that these geoengineering people could put us in. The particles, the chemicals, the gases that the geoengineers want to put up into the upper atmosphere in order to reduce the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth is going to be tremendous. And the implications of that, we know because there were three U.S. hearings for the in the U.S. House of Representatives Science and Technology Committee and a final report at the end of last year on this subject. And the geoengineers that are promoting this had to admit that it could cause unintended consequences, acid rains, which would impact trees and plants, that these chemicals would pollute our air, our water, our soils, have implications that could be catastrophic. And yet, they're hustling everything they know to bring about and to start to conduct these experiments. We do know that Bill Gates from Microsoft has already initiated cloud whitening experiments to reflect more sunlight away from the Earth. And he's using salt, and the salt process, or funding a company that is using this process, and what they're using in the clouds is particulates of salt. The potential for the salt in the clouds to rain out over land, polluting our water, our soils, making them unproductive, is tremendous. And that's just one example.
Why does Bill Gates have so much power to do this stuff?
Money.
Ask a foolish question. He
well,
is such
Bill
a dark
Gates,
little character.
See, I Bill mean, Gates founded Microsoft.
Money, but money.
He
is a global
this
reality.
Process. Bill Gates founded Microsoft. He went through this process. He made a lot of money. And now people are going to him just because he founded a corporation and made money. All of a sudden now he's being given credited with being God, that he can speak on all these subjects as someone with sage advice. And that if he wants to experiment by conducting a geoengineering experiment or funding these geoengineers and their atmospheric experiment, just because he has money, this does not make him a god or able to make decisions for me and for other people in the world. I think this is a big stretch.
Well, there certainly seems to be more to it than him just having the bucks, because he has unlimited power, it seems, and there just seems to be no stopping this individual.
He has access to power because of his money.
Yeah.
If he had no money, he would have no access to power.
Right. Well, we don't have to worry about him not having money, do we?
No. But we have to worry about the experiments and what he may fund, because he's funding hurricane experiments with NASA. He's in this, not only this cloud whitening experiment, but he's also funding David Keith from Calgary University and some of their endeavors there as well. So he's becoming a conduit where people who don't have the money and couldn't do it are able to conduct experiments, which may not be in the public interest, because they're now being funded by someone who's decided that this is a good idea.
And what are the experiments being conducted at Calgary University? God help us.
Well, David Keith is kind of reticent to talk about it, but what David Keith is promoting is he's promoting that we should experiment putting sulfur and aluminum oxide and other things into the atmosphere in order to reduce the amount of direct sunlight. So they're talking about solar, they're talking about mirrors, they're talking about cloud whitening experiments. They're talking about ocean iron fertilization, which has already started and is not working well because it's destroying the balance in the oceans. But these companies are raising money in order to continue to conduct these experiments. And the thing is that we have no say. The public has no say because they're using the atmosphere that we live in as an experimental physics lab, and there's no laws that say, no, you can't do this because it could harm the environment. And that's the danger that we're facing.
Yeah. What do you think is the... You know, I have to interrupt my own self and say that this, on the wake of hearing yet another thread of commentary about there is no global warming, and it just makes me so crazy, because if there is no global warming and no solar overpowering of the planet, then what is all of this about bouncing the sun's light back? Anyway, what is the real reason they're trying to block the sun on this planet?
Well, there's a couple of reasons here. First of all, if you reduce the amount of sunlight reaching the earth, you cut crop production. Trees and plants won't grow and be healthy and strong because there will be limited photosynthesis. Solar panel power production won't work as well because you're going to cut the amount of direct sunlight to power them. The consequences of reducing direct sunlight we're already seeing from the persistent jet contrails because of the vitamin D, the lack of vitamin D that people are experiencing, which rickets is becoming epidemic across the United States, and other health effects are now showing up since the 1990s because the jets have impaired the amount of direct sunlight reaching the earth. Now, NASA studies and Stanford University studies are saying that a good portion of the warming that is taking place, that is melting the Arctic and Alaska, are from the aviation impacts of these persistent jet contrails and the water vapor that jets release during the combustion process. So what we're already seeing is when you start to take and reduce, put in artificial cloud cover, and you start to reduce the amount of sunlight reaching the earth, that process is actually warming us a bit instead of allowing heat to escape.
Exactly.
So then but you see here, I think that there's another motive here. I think, and David Keith of Calgary University, I didn't realize that his degree was in petroleum.
Oh, how convenient
is that? In the petroleum part of Calgary University. You know, they always talk about him as a climate scientist, but what his real, he's got funding for Calgary University and his department from Shell Oil, and his study and his main concern are petroleum issues. So I thought to myself, this is really strange. But then it all made sense to me. If we warm the Arctic artificially and we warm Alaska, all of these oil companies can extract the natural resources like natural gas and oil from these areas that they could no longer get to. And
exactly.
CNN, bless their souls, put a half an hour report on this about the warming in the Arctic, and all of the country is fighting over the natural resources. Just about the time that I started writing an article on this, because someone had put it together that this warming was benefiting these oil companies and others to get into these areas for natural resource exploitation.
What does the Gulf of Mexico have to do with this?
As far as
deliberately destroying the ecosystems in the pursuit of oil. Do we not want to go there?
I'm not exactly sure that I can answer that question for you. I think that because here's why I can't answer that for you. The U.S. Navy was just approved for a 5-year warfare testing program in the Gulf of Mexico. This means bomb blasts above the ocean, below, beneath, submarine warfare. A massive environmental impact statement was just approved earlier this year, approving high-level sonar usage, bomb blasts, all kinds of things that would be taking place in the Gulf of Mexico. and that there's going to be millions of marine mammals that are going to be disrupted from this, whatever's left from the Gulf oil spill. I think it would be easy to blame everything on the oil instead of, because most people aren't going to know that the Navy's in full-scale warfare testing in the Gulf of Mexico if they haven't read the EIS. And I think that this is this that they can blame it on the oil spill when they have massive deaths in that area, rather than the implication of the Navy using that as a warfare practice area for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say what's left of the marine mammals in the Gulf.
That's correct. Yes, it will finish off whatever is there, is my guess, because of the use of sonar, bomb blasts, toxic chemicals. There won't be much left.
How sad. People, please call in. If you've got questions for Rosalind, feel free to call in. BBS line is toll free. And I'm just calling it up again because I don't have it memorized. We've talked about a lot of things so far. And I think that you may have questions you want answered, if possible, by Rosalind at 888-627-6008. You can be anonymous. Don't worry. But do call in if you've got a question for either me or for Rosalind. So you were talking about vitamin D deficiency, which is definitely a concern. And I was surprised to hear you say that rickets is. But isn't rickets having to do with vitamin C deficiency?
No, it's vitamin D deficiency, although you can be deficient in C. But no, it's for rickets, it's a lack of vitamin D. Children who used to work in the coal mines had bone disease and bending bones and brittle bones because of vitamin D deficiency, because they never saw the sunlight because they were forced to work in coal mines and other areas where they never got outside. And this cleared up when children were taken out of the coal mines and put in schools during the day and things like this. And so it went away for the most part, and then all of a sudden now it's showing up across the United States that people are vitamin D deficient. But the associated health effects are tremendous. If you go to my website, agriculturedefensecoalition.com, I'm sorry, .org, agriculturedefensecoalition.org, and you go to the categories section, it links two of my websites, and you can go there, and in categories, you can look up all the health effects for vitamin D. You can look up what a lack of direct sunlight, the impact of having a lack of direct sunlight. You can look up the geoengineering programs. You can look up all of these things that I have talked about today. I have put them all online for your convenience, listed alphabetically in the categories section.
Thank you. That's a great tool. Meanwhile, how do you perceive people can combat that? I'm concerned about the vitamin D deficiency and the fact that natural supplements are disappearing. So what are your recommendations for people to deal with this for themselves and for their children?
Well, one of the things we have to do is put the skids on the jets and say, look, you can't cover our skies in man-made clouds anymore. And haze, because it's reducing the amount of sunlight, and we're suffering the health effects from not having our skin absorb enough direct sunlight, and that goes for animals as well. The other thing is that the jets are reducing solar panel power output. The jets are reducing photosynthesis, so crop production is dropping. And what we have to do is we have to begin to speak out, know about these things, know about the health effects that we're suffering from, and realize that no amount of pills, in other words, we don't want to enrich another company having to pay for pills.
Rosalind,
I can't take enough pills
to supplement. I need to interrupt you, Rosalind. We've got a caller waiting patiently online. So let me get back to finishing your sentence after we take this call.
Sure.
Yes, caller.
Hi, this is Doug.
Hello, caller.
In the state of Minnesota.
Hello. I'm sorry, we didn't hear you in the beginning. What is your name?
My name is Doug, and I live in the state of Minnesota.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling in. How can we answer? What is your question?
My question is The problem that you are presenting with the grid in of the upper Midwest, and I'm sure in Canada, we know that if the grid fails during winter, we have just a few hours.
Right,
plus,
that's a very
valid
question.
We would not even be able to pump gasoline to get out of here. So I want to ask if you think that this whole idea of controlling the grid is just power and control, and possibly we should look toward Nikola Tesla as to what he thought could be controlled and altered in the space-time continuum. Listen to your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Doug. Rosalind?
With the power grid and the testing, I think that there's some control issues here. I think it has to do more with smart meters, but that's conjecture on my part. But I don't think that this is in our best interest. I think that this is in the self-interest of people who want to have more control of the power that we all receive and take for granted, and that they can turn it on and off at will and control what's happening. And he's right about pumping gas. When the power goes down, in some places you can't pump gasoline and other things.
I know this is going to sound like a very limited suggestion, but I do recommend to people, I am not in survival mode and I don't go there, but there are some very important things that you need to think about in emergency situations. One is having a gas tank full of gas. Another is, if possible, having backup generators. In environments that are so sucked in, freezing, where your very survival depends on electricity, you should be thinking, Doug, about systems and alternative energy sources that can provide you with a minimum of backup, of independent backup. So, you're absolutely right. That environment, we've seen some pretty scary scenarios where you've had these hellacious storms and just sucked in frozen temperatures, and you need to be thinking about that. If this is coming, how will you manage for you and your family? And certainly it is a huge concern. Oh my goodness, we're almost out of time. How does this happen? I guess it was because they're fooling around with the grid. I hate to be facetious.
They speeded up your show.
Yeah, they did. They wanted us to stop talking about it, so they simply altered the timeline of the show. Well, Rosalind, there's always with you, it's just impossible to imagine how the time flies like this, but we're just about at the end of our time slot. I want to thank Doug for calling in and raising that concern. And I want to remind everyone that survival mentality is not where it is at. What we need to do is become activists like Rosalind. She is, of course, really putting herself out there. But in your communities, if you're not going to be a global voice, think about your community, think about your families, help people become aware of systems that are being put in place and what you as individuals, families, and communities are going to do to bring the light of knowledge into the environment and affect change. And when you listen to a person like Rosalind Peterson, you never lose hope that as corrupt as the officials are, the government officials are, you never lose hope that they can be persuaded by public opinion. So when you're feeling like there's no point in it because it's too big, just remember that petitions, telephone calls, flooding the world, all of this matters. You agree, Rosalind?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I also agree in starting locally and electing people who understand these issues and are willing to take action about them. Don't rubber stamp the same old politicians who won't listen. It's time to put in new politicians and new people that run for office that will.
And right. And if in the meantime, waiting for the potential candidates who are not corruptible, which might be like waiting for Godot, we need to work in our communities. Have you got a neighborhood watch? What would you do if your block went out? The whole city block or the whole town went out cold out of electricity. How would you deal with that as a community? Let's start talking about some old human compassion and planning for emergencies so that you can survive this grid with this grid manipulation with eloquence and return to community interdependence where we help each other through crisis. Yeah? That yeah is for you, Rosalind.
Well, I agree. And also, that we can put things on the ballot. We have a lot of power at our disposal, if we're willing to work on it, to make change. And if we give up and just say the end of the world is coming, then no change will happen. And if the end of the world doesn't come on the appointed date, then where are we? We're years behind again. So it's time to take action, and the future will take care of itself, and we have to worry about what our future is going to be if we don't take any action on these issues.
Yeah, don't be the classic person that decides to run up their credit card because 2012 is all going to end anyway and find yourself in 2013 with a $40,000 credit card debt because you got it wrong. All right, listen, I'm sorry. I know I've been a little facetious here. These are important issues. But,
we have to smile. You know, that's an instant vacation is when you smile and can laugh. And we all need that sometimes. So I think you're great, and that's good.
That's great. It's true. We've got to keep our sense of humor so that we don't get so mental that we become disempowered by our own mental processes. So there you go. That's the show. I've had with me the wonderful Rosalind Peterson. Her website, she has a number of them, but you can find everything on CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. Please read her information. She's truly a warrior for the planet. And get out there and start making the place, the world, the place you want it to be. Empowered, strong, convinced that you are a child of this planet and you have a voice in how things unfold on planet Earth. Thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Matrix for people who dare to think outside the box of convention. Thank you, Rosalind. It's been wonderful, as always, having you back.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and thank you for your efforts in putting this information out to the public.
Thank you, Rosalind. 2 weeks from now, I'll have on my friend and colleague, Alfred Weber, who's been hosting me on his program. We're going to be talking about Mars anomalies, secrets in space, time manipulation. So you're going to want to catch that show, too. It's on 3 September, 11 a.m. on Saturday. All right, you guys, it's been real. Arrivederci, nanu, nanu. Tune back in next 2 weeks from now. This is Patricia Corey signing out.